The title of the message today is to change the way you look. Now, I have always wished that I could change the way I look. I remember, you know, when I was young, I always thought my nose was too big. I could lay out in the sun and just put sunscreen on my nose. And I remember sleeping, trying to put something and hold it together so it would maybe get a little more narrow and point out a little better. But I can't change the way I look from the outside in. But I can change the way I look from the inside out. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We need to change the way that we look at the things that are around us. We need to change the way we look at the things that we deal with every day. I'm always hearing from somebody who's maybe going to have a surgery, or somebody who gets a bad report, and something that's always wrong, and something always falling apart. And if we're not careful, we'll start looking in the wrong places. We'll start looking in the wrong direction. We'll start looking the wrong way. And whenever we do, we may be missing out on what we're supposed to be looking at. So we need to change the way that we look. Amen. In Luke 21 and verses 25 through 28, let's just look at those for just a minute here and just read what the Spirit of the Lord is talking about. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexities, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing nigh. This passage of Scripture is talking about bad things that are taking place, the storms, the devastations, the disappointments of life. And he said men's hearts are going to fail them from looking at these things if they keep focusing on it. But he said that's not where you're supposed to be looking. He said you're supposed to be looking up, and your redemption is drawing nigh. Look up, your healing is drawing nigh. Look up, your miracle is drawing nigh. Look up, your grace is drawing nigh. Look up, your peace is drawing nigh. Look up, your hope is drawing nigh. Whatever you have need of. And sometimes we focus at where the difficult is coming from, and God's telling us, look up. Hallelujah. I want us to change the way we look. In Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They complained about the way they were going. You know, you hear a lot of folk today complaining about the way things go and the way they're going. Usually the way the things around them's going has a little bit to do with the way they're going. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loathed this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from us. I want to tell you, this is a powerful little line right here. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents. I wonder how many people today want somebody to pray that the problem will just go away. Somebody just pray that it'll just disappear, that it won't exist anymore, that I won't have to deal with it any longer, that I won't have to face it in the morning when I wake up. Somebody just pray that it goes away. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, that he lived. I want you to see the difference in the way that you look. I want you to see a different way to look out, a different way to look at life, a different way to look at the things that are around you. First of all, I want us to see a selfish rebellion. These were people that had come out of Egypt's bondage. These were people that were under Pharaoh's taskmasters, and they were beaten, and they were slaves. And now they've been brought out by Moses, and they've been led out by God, and now they're doubting God's promise. In other words, God has told them that they're going to a land flowing with milk and honey. You see, that's the way most people look whenever they come to God. They think the moment that they repent, they should step into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. But I want to tell you something, friend. It's not only about what you're going to, but it's about what you're going through. And sometimes if you don't keep focus on what you're going to, you're going to get confused and you're going to get deceived by what you're going through. But they doubted God's promise. And then they disdained God's provision. In other words, they said that we loathe this light bread. God would rain them manna down from heaven every day. And on the sixth day, he would rain them down a double amount that they could pick up. Jesus said in the New Testament, he said that I was that manna that fell in the wilderness. He's the bread of life in the beginning. He's the bread of life on your journey. He's the bread of life when you get to where you're going. He has always been and he always will be the bread of life. But they didn't have the bread that they desired, but it was the bread that was to sustain them until they got to the bread and the milk and the honey and all of the good things that God. But he came down. That manna represented Christ. It came down from God out of heaven. It was round, symbolizing that it was eternal. It had no beginning and no ending. It was white, symbolizing its purity. There was no contamination in that manna, and it had to be lifted up from the earth in order for it to be beneficial to those that ate it. That manna represented our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But they disdained God's provision, and then they despised God's prophet. Moses could have lived in Pharaoh's house. He could have been the prince. He could have ruled Egypt. But he left because of these people, because he chose their side. And when the burning bush talked to him, God spoke to him through the burning bush. Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep. He had a wife and two little children, and he had it made. He didn't have to go back into Egypt and withstand Pharaoh, but he went back just to deliver these people. And now they're putting down God who gave them the promise. They're putting down his provision, and they're putting down his prophet. You know, selfishness is when you always think you deserve more than you got. Blessed people always think they got more than they deserved. And I look at this story, and I see as they're looking down on God, they're looking down on his provision, they're looking down on his prophet. I wonder how many people in here this morning, you have the tendencies to look down. I have it happen to me. There are times that I get a little bit discouraged. There's times I get a little despondent. There's times I get a little broken. There's times when I just don't feel the way that I ought to feel. And if you're not careful, you'll start looking down. There are people who look down on their job. There are people who look down on their car. There are people who look down on their house. There are people who look down on their children. There are people who look down on everything around them. It's like every time you talk to them, the only thing they can tell you is what's wrong with everything. One woman told the pastor, said, "Do you know what's wrong with our church?" He said, "I sure do. But do you know what's right with it?" Amen. It's not about why they didn't come, but it's why you did come. Oh my God. And we need to change the way that we look. And they were looking down on everything, and God said, "I've got a sure retribution for you." He said, "I'm going to send some snakes in." He said, "You want to look down? Oh my God, I'll make it where you got to look under your feet. I'll make it where you don't raise your head. I'll make it where you don't take another step without looking down. If it's your desire to look down, I'll fix it where you can look down. All you want to look down." And he sent the serpents in, and the Lord sent the fiery serpents, and the people, and much of the people in Israel died. But you see, it was a fiery retribution. You see, when the serpent bites, it's like, they tell me, it's like fire going through you. But it was a fitting retribution. Why? Because they wanted to look down. God said, "Here's something for you to look down on." Oh my God, I don't know who I'm talking to in this place this morning, but if you'll hear this message that this preacher's preaching in this house, you won't leave here like you came in this building. You'll leave out with your head up, realizing that he's with me. His hand is upon me. And even when I fail, he doesn't let me go. It was a fatal retribution. Many of the people died from it. Did you know looking down can take you to a very early death? Because down represents depression. Ask Samson. He went down to Gaza. He went down to Timnah. Even the man who God gave supernatural power to couldn't stay strong when he was always looking down. Wow. And all of a sudden now, they change. They're looking down, but they come to the man that they've just been putting down, Moses. And they tell the man they've been putting down to call on the God they've just been putting down, that he provide an answer for their provision and take care of them, because they now need somebody. We need a saving remedy. You see, that's where the world was. It was down. Adam fell in the garden. But Jesus came down and he was raised from the earth. I want to tell you something. Do you want to walk with somebody that's falling, or you want to walk with somebody who has been to hell and back and they still got up again? God said, "I've got you a saving remedy." It was a sovereign remedy, because it came from God. Anything that saves you from looking in the wrong direction and causes you to look up, it's going to come from God. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned and spoken against God, and pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent." And Moses prayed for the people. I mean, the man they've been putting down. That's a good pastor there. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." In other words, the serpents are all around your feet. But I'm going to make something that looks like what's around your feet. And I'm going to put it up on a pole. And you can look up to what looks like around you. And if you look up to what looks like you're looking down on, then it's going to get a total different comprehension, a different understanding Oh my God, is that not why Jesus Christ had to come in the form of sinful flesh and then be lifted up and be set up on the cross? And he said, if you'll just lift me up, I'll draw all men to me, and you can look up to me. In other words, when we look at our disease and we look at our sins and we look at our brokenness and we look at our hopelessness, we can look up and there hangs a man who looks just like us. The only difference is he bore our sins. He healed our diseases. He delivered our weaknesses. And if we'll look up, we'll have strength for the things that we've been looking down. Oh my God. He put the sovereign remedy. And it was a sufficient remedy. Didn't Paul say that God told him, my grace is sufficient for you? But not only was it sufficient, but it was a sure remedy. Wow. And all you had to do was a simple requirement. All you had to do was look in the right direction. It was an easy requirement. Did you know we can have our miracle if we'll look in the right way? See, I always thought it was interesting that your eyes are about as high up on the body as it can get. I used to think when I was going to dive off of a high dive that it wouldn't look near as scary if my eyes was in my toes. And then I realized once I got coming off, just as soon as I took the dive, it wasn't near as far down as it looked like it was. See, your eyes are put right here. And you can look down or you can look up. And if you look down, you're going to see the weaknesses and the limitations and the broken places and the sorrows and the hurt. If you look up, you'll see the one that endured them all so that you wouldn't have to endure them. It's an easy requirement. See, I don't know why religion makes salvation so hard. I really don't. I mean, you just got to stay forever and try to beg and plead until you get a little sympathy from God. I just stopped by Spirit of Life to tell you, he can't ever forgive you any more than he did when Jesus died on the cross. And the only thing that keeps you from receiving that forgiveness is you won't say, I've sinned. If you say, I've sinned, his forgiveness rushes in. Amen. Amen. You see, that's how it works. It's an easy requirement. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But not only is it an easy requirement, but it's essential. You've got to look in this direction. You've got to. It's going to make all the difference in the world. It is imperative. You have got to look the way that God says to look. But not only that, it's effective. It'll change everything about you. People will wonder, what's going on? Why? For months, you were just looking down. But all of a sudden, you started looking up. And when you looked up, you realized that he looked down. And what do you know? I really am heaven bound. My blessed Lord, I have eternal life. I have abundant life. You see, it just all depends on changing the way that you look. Amen. Hazel Hurst, a lady that trained CNI dogs, she said the hardest thing to train a CNI dog, not to stop for traffic, not to, stop when they were supposed to or go, but she said, the hardest thing to train the dog to do was lift his eye contact, because he's walking along down here about 18 inches, and the person he's leading, this blind, is up about 6 feet. And what the dog can just walk under, the person he's leading is going to run right into it. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand what this preacher's talking about? You've got to lift your eye contact. You see, we've got too many people who are looking around down here, and they're trying to lead the blind somewhere. But you can't get them to where they need to be, because you're down here looking in the wrong direction, your own self. You've got to change the way that you look. In John 3 and 14 through 16, I want us to just look at this, what Jesus is saying when he reminds us about the serpent in the wilderness. And as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then the most memorized verse probably in all of the Bible: for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Read that with me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And John writes this, Jesus is speaking, and he references it to Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, and he's telling you, you can have everlasting life if you'll change the way that you look. Hallelujah. Ah, blessed Lord. Whew. Amen. Did you know that? Whew. Which way are you looking this morning? Are you looking down on life? Are you looking down on your circumstances? Are you looking down on your situations, your difficulties? Are you looking down? It's so easy to get down. Amen. When you see these things happening, look up. Hebrews 9 and 28 tells us, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You see, we've got to change the way that we look. It's not something that's uncommon. We've got to change the way that we see things. You may have to change the way that you love. Amen. I made the comment one time, if a person would act right, I'd really love them and be good to them. And the Spirit of the Lord said, you weren't doing what I wanted you to do when I loved you. Ain't it frustrating when God don't go along with you? But you think you got all the answers. Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow. I want to ask you this morning, just stand with me in here. Would you like to change the way that you're looking? Hebrews 9 and 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him, he shall appear without sin unto salvation. Look at Titus 2 and 13. Paul's writing, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What are you looking at? Are you looking down Are you looking at that broken life? Are you looking at the broken child, the broken home, the broken body, the disease, the death that took away a loved one? All of these things will cause us to look down. But the Bible, in a little story about snakes and a brazen serpent, you see, the things that had them looking down, when they looked up, they saw the victory over the things that were threatening them down here. But as long as all they did was look down, they never saw the answer to what they were looking down at. How many people in here would believe that this morning? You believe what this preacher's saying? If you can just lift your eyes, everything down here is going to be all right. Glory to God. Oh, what a picture. What a message. And what we have to look up to will represent everything that we've been looking down on. When I look up to Christ, I see a body just like this. And everything I'm looking up to takes away the pain of what I've been looking down on. Hallelujah. Would you step out all over this place this morning? I don't know what you may be looking down. I just want you to come. Just step out. Just step out. I can promise you, I'm already up here. I've had my times of looking down. I've had my times of looking down. I've had my times. And I may look down some more, but what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to this church this morning, it's time for us to look up. Our answers are not looking down, but our answer is looking up. Oh, yes, it is. Our answer is looking up. Our answer is looking up. We've looked down long enough. We've looked down at our disappointments. We've looked down at our disease. We've looked down at our disaster. We've looked down at our despair. We've looked down at our distraction. We've looked down at our defeat. It's time for us to look up to our deliverer this morning. It's time for us to look up, because his deliverance is up. My blessed God, I feel his anointing. The Spirit of the Lord changed my mind just yesterday and said somebody's going to be here this morning and they need to hear the message. It's time to look up. To look up. We've looked down long enough. It's time to look up. It's time. Say it with me, God. It's time to look up. Do you love him this morning? Do you love the Lord in this house? My blessed God. My blessed God. My blessed God. Look up. Look up. Look up. Hallelujah. There may be things around you can destroy you, but if you'll look up, he'll deliver you. I love you. God loves you. Fellowship before you leave. You are dismissed. God is so good.